Have you ever been to Utopia? How about Utopia, Kansas? Or Utopia, Ohio? Or Utopia, New York? Or Utopia, Texas? Or Utopia, Illinois? Or Utopia, Florida? Or perhaps you have been to Utopia, New South Wales in Australia. Nobody has been to Utopias. Well, Google says there are actually 7 Utopia-named cities in the world, 6 of which are here in the United States and 1 that's in Australia. But none of the U.S. utopias continue to thrive, except for perhaps the exception of Utopia, Texas, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit. In the decades preceding the Civil War, there was an idealism that led some people to establishing communities called Utopia. The founders wanted to create societies as close to perfect as they could. Utopia, Ohio, for example, was established in 1844 by a French philosopher who called for intentional communities based on the equal sharing of resources and labor. The people who lived in that utopia were spiritualists who wanted to find a secluded place where they could practice their religion. The town was on the banks of the Ohio River, and many of the settlers died in a flash flood in 1847. So after that, many of the survivors of the flood moved away. There is now a roadside marker which was placed by the Ohio Historical Society. And that roadside marker, noting where Utopia, Ohio was, that roadside marker concludes, "Thus, the idea of a perfect society or utopia died." It seems that those communities founded on the utopian philosophy, or whether they were named utopia or something else, they failed to thrive. Ironically, the one utopia, Utopia, Texas, that has seemed to continue on in some ways, wasn't really founded on the utopian philosophy. Instead, its settlers chose the name Utopia because the name that they wanted, Montana, Texas, was already taken. The term Utopia was coined by Sir Thomas More in 1516. He used it as the name for a fictional island society in a novel that he wrote. And to come up with the name of the island, Moore combined 2 Greek words, topos, which means place or where, and you or ou, which means no or not, giving the literal meaning of utopia to be nowhere or not place. One commentator wrote, "Utopia is nice to think about, but on this earth, you're not going to find it, because wherever and whenever a human being enters a paradise, paradise is lost." This failure of utopian societies could cause one to look at today's scripture from Isaiah with a somewhat skeptical eye. This prophecy describes a divine remaking of Jerusalem, where the old problems will be no more, where there will be no weeping or no sounds of distress, no infant deaths, no fruitless effort. It will be a place of joy where every adult will have a long and full lifespan. The residents will not worry about being overtaken by their foreign enemies, and they won't be worried about being harmed by each other. And God will anticipate their needs, answering their prayers even before they voice them. And yes, wild animals will peacefully coexist. The audience for this prophecy was exiled Jews who had finally returned to their homeland. They were a people who had mostly turned their backs on God and followed after their own way. And these words from the prophet are meant to be both judgment and encouragement. For if the exiles are to begin anew, they are going to have to put aside their present behaviors. There are things in their lives that are going to have to come to an end. And the prophet paints a picture of what can be if these people, the people of God, will do what God has called them to do. It is a picture of radical transformation, a transformation of the living conditions in Jerusalem, which includes low infant mortality. And that's an important point because prior to the 19th century, between 30 and 50% of children did not survive beyond the age of 5. So in that society, to hear that children would survive and that people would live a long life, it's amazing. So the question today is, how can we be a part of this transformation that God intends? Well, one way is to continue, both as individuals and as a congregation, to follow the pattern of mercy that Christ set before us. And I couldn't help but think about as those containers, laundry containers, were being passed and we heard the noise of the change going in, I couldn't help but think, these are the kinds of things that God has in mind for God's people to show mercy. There are many things that we can do to show people the mercy that Jesus Christ gave to us as an example. There's a drink of cold water, a can of beans, a word of encouragement or appreciation, a moment in which another human being is humanized rather than objectified, a challenge to those structures that maintain injustice, the naming of an evil that is in plain sight, the declaration that every person is a child of God. The truth is that hope may be easier for those of us who live on this side of the resurrection than it was for those post-exilic Jews. God broke into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, who showed us that acts of mercy, acts that counter the way we are accustomed to living our lives, and certainly the way that society is accustomed to living its life, those acts of mercy are indeed possible. If those previously mentioned acts we do are combined with the acts of other believers, single acts of serving God and serving neighbor, we will see we will see and be a part of God's kingdom breaking into this world. So the world does not need a utopian philosophy. What it does need is a transformation that will occur when we, those of us who claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, respond to the grace that God has extended to us by extending that same grace to others. One of the people who showed us what can happen when we open ourselves to God's vision for creation was Martin Luther King Jr. His famous "I Have a Dream" speech, delivered in Washington, D.C. in 1963, fully informed the people of that time about racism in America. But it was his articulation of the dream, a dream that I am 110% convinced that the Spirit of God put into his heart and mind. That is what enabled things to change. MLK's dream still carries power today, just as these words from Isaiah carry power today. Both are based on transformation, the transformation of hearts and minds, your heart and my heart, your mind and my mind. And we believe that with the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that the reign of the kingdom of God has begun, but has not yet been fully realized. And the restoration of all creation, the restoration by God is in process. And God calls each one of us to be a part of that transformation. God says through the prophet, "For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth." May God grant us the hearts and the minds to be a part of God's transformation of the entire creation. Amen.